Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We are on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
We just want to give God all the glory and the thanks for Bob and Mel have been, with Katie, have been going through quite a journey with her, and it's their first time back this Sunday morning, and we just give God all the thanks and the grace for what he's doing. He's still working there, but the reality is God's working his wonderful hand of grace. So we just give thanks to the Lord in that. Am I resonating? Yeah. Okay. Father, we just thank you for this time, for your word. We really just trust that there'll be a freedom and there'll be a liberty here today, that we would hear what the Spirit is saying to us. And that, Lord, that as we comprehend and take hold of what you're saying, may this be life-changing to every single one of us now. So, Lord, have your way amongst us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So today has two parts. I want to share on continuing how to be led by the Holy Spirit as we're working through the series. We just really just getting into the practical parts. I didn't get a chance to do that last time. And then I want to just, in summary, I want to just be looking at what God is saying to us. We've spent some time, we've had apostolic input through Brad and Sharissa Lane from The Crossing and their church. Then also just we've been waiting upon the Lord, how the Lord is speaking. And I really want to present that to us, because I really believe as God is speaking to us, we need to be hearing what the Spirit of God is actually saying to the churches. And out of that, be doing what God's called us to do. Amen. So if you want to turn your Bibles, I want you to look to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 19. The reference is how to be led by the Holy Spirit. And we know Romans 8:14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So if you want to get your Bibles, and Ephesians 4, verse 17 to 19. I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and are separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full. Sorry about that. What we have here is the Spirit of God wanting to work with those that are believers, and Paul saying to the church there, do not be like the Gentiles, do not be like the pagans who live in darkness, they live separated lives from the life of God. But he says, I want you to not have a hardened heart, but have sensitivity to God. And that's a thing that needs to be grown in us. It's something that just doesn't happen overnight. God wants to bring us to a place of sensitivity. But if we don't become sensitive, what actually happens? We hand ourselves over to sensuality. And sensuality leads us to follow the things of the world. I was just watching someone send me a clip yesterday. Just saying about South Africa and about our national anthem, Nkosi Sikili Africa. And when the anthem was put together, they're removed come Holy Spirit. And we've seen over 7, this is not critical, but over our nation, what we have seen is sensuality and greed has come into our nation, and the Holy Spirit has been pushed aside. And that can happen even in the life of the church, is that we can be in a place that we can harden our hearts to the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit. And we can hand ourselves over to sensuality. And the Lord doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to get to a place where we can grow and be working together with God, the Holy Spirit. So I want to go through some practical points of how to develop yourself, that you can be led by the Holy Spirit in life. I think there's 5 parts to this thing. So firstly, if you want to learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit, firstly, you've got to depend on your spirit. And you remember that we are made up of spirit, soul, and body. And the real entity of who you are is your spirit man within you. And we've got to learn to know that we can depend upon our spirits within us. That's where the Holy Spirit lives. He lives within you, and he's speaking to you through your spirit, to your mind. He wants to reveal things to you, not only through his word, but through his word that will enlighten you, that you can have a source not only through the word of God, but through within you, where God is actually dwelling within you. And I really do believe is we've got to get to a place, we got to depend on our spirits within us. I've seen over a period of life, people that rely on the flesh fall down, but those who rely on the Spirit of God within them, working through their spirits and through the Word of God, we find that they become successful. It might not be success in according to the world's ways, but it really brings success in following God. And God, that way God wants us to be able to. Remember, out of our spirits, that is where faith is expressed. And God wants us to express faith, because we cannot live by sight. We have to live by faith. And God wants us to learn that. And so often we try to put those things into the realm of reasoning, into the realm of thinking. But if we get into the realm of the spirit, God wants to take us deeper and further. The second part, listen to your spirit. Many of us get to a place where we shut our spirits up and we don't listen. We listen to the world. We listen to what the news is saying. We don't look within us, and we don't allow God to reveal his truth to us. You see, if we don't allow that guidance to take place in our lives, I really do believe we take away what God wants to show us. There are many things that are in Scripture, but there are many things that we face in life that it's not always that the Scripture is going to reveal. You need the God within. So you've got to learn to develop that thing. It's like when you go and you go on a walk and you're in the bush and you're with a guide and he's telling you about the things, you listen to what the guide is saying. So yes, you walk in your walk, but when the guide is with you, he's guiding you and directing you. And it's a wonderful process. I remember many years ago, we went to the Kruger Park and we did a walk around Pretoria Skop there, and we were with a guide, and it was just so wonderful. As you're walking down the path, and he's explaining the footprints, and he's explaining the trees, and he's explaining the grasses, and all the things around in the environment, and not only the animals. And this is what the Holy Spirit that's within you wanting to speak through your spirit. But the thing is, if you shut up your spirit, you're not going to hear. And God wants us to hear through our spirits. And then there's also the Word of God, which is the truth also, that you don't need God always to tell you to say, husbands, love your wives, because the Scripture has told you that. So the general outworking of what God has said to us, he's given us his Word, and we need to be obeying his Word to us. We don't always need direct input. Sometimes God needs to remind us when we're not obeying, like children, obey your parents. Dear children, they're smiling at me now. They do obey, folk, they do. They are good children. The third point is be tender-hearted. And this is something that's got to be cultivated. It's that sensuality, not to be sensual, but to be sensitive. In 1 John 3, verse 20 to 21, whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. The reality, we all err, and we all find ourselves in place at times where we sin. And who's going to condemn us? It's not the Holy Spirit. It says here that our hearts know, because God has given us the ability to know what's right and wrong, and we got to obey that. And when we when we obey that, and we deal with those things, you know, we all, even though we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb when we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, there's a daily outworking of the blood of the Lamb to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to remain that tenderness. I want to just encourage you, this very important thing is to deal with sin, to deal with error, to deal with rebellion in our lives. We think we're not there, but I'm telling you now, by the way we live and the things that we, just the simple thing when Jesus said, deny self, take up your cross and follow me, is a real key indicator that selfishness can become sin in our lives. And we've got to be in a place that we realize this thing in our lives, that it can rear its ugly head and be a reality in our lives. And we've got to deal with that thing, to remain humble before God, to remain humble before one another and sensitive, then we'll keep our hearts tender. Do you know when we become rash and we become aggressive, and when we speak and we don't respond to people, react to people, what happens? We rob our tenderness and we become hardened. And that's all our problems. All of us have those things. I find that at times is that we get self-justified. We think that we are right. And if I, this is what I declare, and we lose that sensitivity to the Spirit. A harsh word sometimes is not from God. Yes, there's times to be firm, but sometimes that robs you. The Spirit of God never leaves us, but His presence can. And the reality is when we operate in that aspect of our flesh and we operate in a place where we look to the flesh to rule and reign through us, we take away this tenderness. And so often, even when, you know, when we fill our lives with the things of the world, can I say it's not wrong to watch a movie and it's not wrong to watch the news, but when that sways your whole life, and it causes you to lose the sensitivity and this tenderness to God. I want to just say today, our phones are wonderful instruments that God can use for grace. But there is so much distraction on those things that can rob you from the very presence of God. Because we will look to that thing to give us guidance rather than we're looking within our spirits. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to be in a place where we can be tender to Him. So I'm really encouraging you today to listen to your spirit when you're tender. And when the Spirit starts to speak to you, obey immediately. That prompting that you get, we spoke about the different ways that God speaks to us, the inward witness, the voice of the Holy Spirit, the still small voice as God speaks to us. Keep yourself tender before them and be led in those things. When you sense, I need to phone so-and-so today, or I need to go and visit, or I need to do something, obey those things because God, the Holy Spirit, is leading you. You see, He can lead you through scriptures, but He also wants to lead you through your spirits. And many, many of us have closed that door, and I want to say, let's not do that. The fourth point, mere man, my spirit or the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 3, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? You see, God takes us out of this world and puts us back in the world, but not to live as mere men, not to be children anymore. And we've got to fight that thing because there is a reality. We're all under pressure when it comes to these things. So I'm not asking you like they used to do. They make us monks and nuns and put us in monasteries and nunneries and exclude you from the world. That's what not God intended. God did intend it for us to separate ourselves from the world. So we don't become religious, but we become open to what the Spirit of God is wanting. We become real. We become authentic, what God wants us. People want to see authenticity, that we face real things, that we're transparent. We go through difficulties. We have our ups and downs. But in that, we are led by the Spirit of God, and God goes before us in a wonderful way. So how do we train the human spirit? There are 7 points. And remember, your spirit needs to be educated. When you are born again, you're a babe, and you need to grow. And these things, and we all got to be trained. There's a process. It's not an instantaneous thing. It's not taking instant coffee and put it in the cup and add in the hot water, and you have got coffee. It's not like that. There's a process that God has, and this process, I think, that's where God has ordained for us to be, not back at school, but there's a process of growing, a growth thing, a very exciting thing of growing. So the first point is grow in reverential fear for God. a respect and authority for him. I think that's such a key thing in today's world where people know about God, but there's not a fear and a reverence for him. And when we honor him and we see in the scriptures that when we fear God, it's the start of wisdom. And out of that, when we come in a place that we know God is our Father and we know that he loves him and loves us and he's given us the fullness of his grace, but when we realize that he's Almighty God and we fear him not in a fear of judgment, but we fear him to know that he's an awesome, Almighty God who loves us. And I want to just say that's got to be cultivated. It's something that all of us have never learned, and the Holy Spirit wants to teach us to revere him and understand his authority that he has. I really do believe when we grow in the fear of the Lord, our vision of God will grow. I believe that our vision of him at the moment is very small. We don't have a big vision of who he is. And as we grow in that reverence of him, just this wonderful expanse of who he is and understanding who he is will grow in our lives. How do you train your human spirit? Secondly, meditate in the word of God. Joshua 1:8, he says, when we meditate in the word of God, we'll make our ways successful. And I want to just say, you do that through your daily reading. When the Holy Spirit reveals something to you, something is highlighted in your daily thing, ponder on those things. Now, our biggest problem in our lives today is we lack time. We are rushed in doing things. We get up in the morning and we busy. And the reality, we've got to live life. And yes, you've got to wash clothes and you've got to cook food and you've got to buy food and you've got to do all those things. But the word of God needs to be paramount in our lives. And it's not just the reading of God's word. It's the time that we would ponder and we would meditate on it and we'll mull over and look for the deep truths. You know, the miners of old that were here on the reef, they found the gold on the surface. That where it was called the reef. And the reef came up to the surface. And I know at Village Reef, there at the bottom of Johannesburg near Selby, the reef came to the surface there. And they would mine on the surface. But then they realized the reef started to go deeper. And I was telling Kylie yesterday, the reef runs from east to west. That's where Main Reef Road runs in Johannesburg here. It's right down from the East Rand all the way to the West Rand. That was the main road, was Main Reef Road. And that's where the gold seam was all along that way. But eventually they found the gold was going deeper. And they had to mine it and had to find the seams of the gold reef and had to go deeper and deeper. Now, I think Kloof Mines, I stand corrected, I think it's 4 kilometers deep that they're mining the gold out from the bottom of the ground. But same with God's word. It can be on the surface. But if you want to get to the depths of it and you want to get the truths of it, you got to mull of it. And it's the studying of God's word in you and you ponder on these things. Because otherwise you're just going to be on the surface and you're not going to know the fullness of these things. God wants to bring us not to be infants, but to be mature in him. And the third point is then practice the word of God. In James 1 verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And that is a real reality in all our lives. God is speaking to us all the time as we allow the word of God to get preeminence in us, the first authority in our lives. Whatever the word says, then we go and do that. And I want to just assure you, when you start to practice the word of God, you start to see the outworking of the life of God in your life. The fourth thing, give the word of God first place. Proverbs 4 verse 20 to 22. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are the life of those who find them and the health to a man's whole body. And key prospects. When you're looking to do, asking God about life and doing things, and he gives you his word, make sure it's the first call that you have in your life. Can I even say is that even when God might be leading you, and it seems to be different to the word of God, always stick with the word of God. That's very, very important that the word of God stays that. The next point is instantly obey the voice of your spirit. That comes through time. And I want to just say, as you grow into maturity, you hear your spirit and then obey your spirit. There's decisions that a lot of us are going to be making into the future and things we've got to do even in today. And God is prompting you. Then instantly obey what he's actually telling you to do. don't say, is this God? Yes, there's in sometimes in the big things, we need counsel and we need to be submitting in those things. But when God's leading you and you know that you know, you've got to hear what he's saying to you. Then worship the Lord in spirit and truth is a key aspect. If to grow your spirit, you've got to practice worship. And, you know, and I thank God for a worship team and singing songs, but this is not all worship. Worship is a lifestyle and giving thanks to God and praising him in all circumstances. You know, it's good to have worship music, and I encourage you to have worship music to encourage you, but practice worship. Give praise to him in all circumstances. This also helps your spirit to become tender to God, because why? God inhabits the praises of his people. And when God's inhabiting, it's not just the presence, then the habitation of God, his home, is in that thing. It's in a sense, the fullness of God is in a reality that begins to open up your spirit to the fullness of God. The next point is praying with the Spirit. When we pray with our spirit, we pray in tongues, we bring up our spirits to a place of being edified, and God wants us to grow. When we edify our spirit, we become sensitive to the Spirit of God. So often is, again I say, we become dull, and we got to birth our, get our spirits going, and your spirit wants to be active. And one of the ways to activate your spirit is to pray in tongues. Yes, it's exercising faith, it's believing the word of God, but pray in tongues, and I'll tell you, a dimension of the spirit will open to you. Paul even said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. Why? Because he depended on his spirit. He was a Pharisee. He was a very learned man. I think he was very, very intelligent. In those days, he would have been equivalent to a doctor of law. And here God teaches him the way of the Spirit. He arrests him and he brings, and he comes up in 1 Corinthians 14 and he tells, I pray in the Spirit more than all of you. Why? Because he started to depend upon his Spirit. And I really believe as you allow the Spirit of God to open up the dimension of the Spirit to you, there are things that I'm not even mentioning today. There are visions. There are dreams. Paul even spoke about going into the third heaven. Heaven opened up to go and see in the throne room of God. God wants him to do things in your life. So I'm asking you, grow to be led by the Spirit of God. That's an absolute key of going forward. As you follow Jesus and are led by the Spirit of God, it's a key aspect. But it's going to take you to do something about it. And you need to give God preeminence in this area, and he will go before you and he will reveal his truth to you in a wonderful way. So will you do that? Amen. So now I want to just encourage us now. I want to just give us some feedback in this, how the Lord's been speaking to us. And I've been really encouraged as the Lord loves us and wanting to reveal his truth to us. And I want to just share some scriptures and open up things to us as God speaks to us. In John 16, verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And this is the role of the Holy Spirit. And we've been trusted him to guide us into all truth. And as we've given him opportunity, and we had the wonderful privilege of having Brad and Sharissa Lane and their church ministering here, and we had a time of seeking and waiting upon the Lord, and he began to speak so wonderfully to us and really encouraged us. The Lord just took me to Revelations 2, verse 7, where the Lord was actually speaking to the seven churches at that time. And verse 7, it says, who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So the Spirit of God is speaking, and I really believe is that at this time, as we've given God time, he's in a sense, he's writing a letter to us. And yes, it's like a puzzle, it's like a masterpiece, and it's not written in verbatim that this is exactly, but we've got to take everything that he's saying to us, and we've got to work it through as a body, and he wants to work it out in our lives and enable us to do what he's called us to do. The context is Acts 13, verse 4. And there in the church at Antioch, the prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was also called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And so, in being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. So here there's a process, there's a pattern that we see in the scripture, is that God the Holy Spirit is speaking to the church. It was here at this time, while they were worshiping the Lord together, the Holy Spirit said for this aspect of Barnabas and Saul. But I really believe as we've set time aside, as we've been seeking the Lord with fasting, we've been seeking the Lord and worshiping Him, the Holy Spirit has spoken. But see, this very important, that the Holy Spirit doesn't work outside the authority of the local church. It says in verse 13 that the church went away and prayed and fasted. And when they had prayed, they confirmed what was said. And yes, they outworked those things. And I want to just say that's what we're wanting to do, is that God just doesn't only want to work through the elders. God wants to work through us, a church. And that's what I'm wanting to bring, these words that God is bringing, to submit it to us, that we all have the Spirit of God, and God wants to confirm with us. And when we hear what the Spirit, we say, yeah and amen, then we go and do what the Holy Spirit has called us to do. Because I think the days of old, where the church was just the leaders, and the church sat and watched the leaders do the work, that's not what God intended. God intended the body of Christ to do these things. And I'm really stirred to motivate us to gather what the Spirit of God is actually doing in our midst, for all of us to get involved in what He's doing and to partner with Him to go forward. Why have we been preaching on partnering with the Holy Spirit? Because I really believe God wants all of us to be involved, to be co-laborers with Christ, and to go forward in what He has for us. When the Lord speaks in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3, it says, one who prophesies speaks to the people for the upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. And I wanted to say, as these words have come, they've been some words of wisdom, some words of knowledge, they've been prophetic words. They come and bring encouragement and consolation and builds the church up, which is very, very key. All of us, there are times when God wants to correct us and rebuke us, but the majority of the time should be encouragement. All of us, we all grow through encouragement. There are times when our thinking's not right and God needs to correct us, but the reality is that we all need, majority need encouragement. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, brothers, do not be children in your thinking, be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. God wants to bring us to maturity in our thinking. And in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29, this is the process in the local church when the prophetic word comes. Let two or three prophets speak, but let the others weigh what is said. And that's an important thing, is that when these words come, there needs to be discernment. There needs to be judgment, not in being condemnation, but to identify what is truth and what is counterfeit. And God wants us to identify what it's the role that we all have to do. And we've all been given the Spirit of God as we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and He brings us to a place of knowing what is truth or not. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 31 to 33, for all can prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And the resultant of this is peace. So I'm really just trusting that God wants to bring us to a place of not being confused of what He has for us, and to be encouraged and to walk in His peace going forward. So there's a portion of scripture I shared on the Thursday night, and I want to just really believe is that God wants us to hold on to it. It's Romans 4 verse 20 to 21. Very important. The prelude to this is about Abraham and Sarah, and God gave a promise to them. And just the outworking that Paul comes and he brings out this wonderful truth that we read here. So in verse 20 of Romans chapter 4, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what He had promised. Now there was no unbelief. God spoke very clearly to Abraham what his intention was, and what happened with Abraham and Sarah. They thought they could work out God's plans, and then they've got Ishmael. And we know Ishmael, even though was loved by God, is become a thorn in the flesh, even in Israel today. That nation is a thorn in their flesh. So we can't run ahead of God. We've got to wait for Him, but we've got to hear the promise of God. And I wanted to say it's important to have vision, and it's good, and it's important to have mission. But we need promise from God. So you need a promise from God individually. You need to know what God has promised you. I think it's absolutely key. As God speaks through his word to you, you need to be writing these things down. And as you allow God to reveal those things, you need to hold on to them. Because here it says here that Abraham grew strong in his faith. He gave glory to God, and he was convinced that God will be able to do what he has promised. So we don't just live life for ourselves. We live life as God leads us and guides us into his fullness. So I want to just do something now, and I want to do it through a prophetic sort of picture here. And what do you think this is? Shoes. Okay, let's see. Is it shoes? Is it shoes? Okay. Box of chocolates. Okay. What is this? Who would like to come unravel the gift firstly? Come, Kayla. Remember the gifts. So you remember the old parcels we used to send, and we used to wrap them up. So I found some twine yesterday. What does it say on you, Kayla?
Fragile.
And handle with care. Okay, can you unwrap the first layer, please? Just the paper, yeah. Thank you. Just the top layer. Ha! Ah, so that's the first layer. Who wants to open up the next layer? Chanel? Maybe it's one shoe. What do you think it is here, Puck? Maybe it's baby shoes. Yeah, just the one, the top layer, yeah. Oh, you found something. What is there? What does it say on there? Okay, I better read it for you. John 12:32, and when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. There's your present. Amen. Who would like to unravel the next layer? Okay, Renette. I don't know. Oh, you didn't get it. The next one. Who would like to do the next unraveling? Come, Joel. It's like an onion that you're peeling, eh? Oh, there we go. There's something. You want to read that to us?
I haven't got my specs on. Sorry.
Okay. John 10:10. The thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it to the abundantly. So these are promises that God has given to us. There we go. Go and enjoy. Who would like to open up the next layer? Come, Olga. There's the scissors too. Oh, you missed on the layer. Who'd like to do the next layer?
take as much care.
Yes.
I'm being very gentle.
And slow.
And you're good.
Galatians 2, verse 9 to 10. For in him the whole...
Fullness of you might have to take over there.
Yeah, it's by handwriting. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and we've all been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. So it's all about Jesus. There you go and enjoy it. Amen. So, and the last one is for a special boy, Dieter. Dieter is 60 today. Let's sing happy birthday to him. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dieter. Happy birthday to you. You get to open up the whole lot. Yeah. You can't take it away yet. It is yours, but once you've got to open it up first. No. And you got to open that up now.
I brought my glasses in case
I'm... So you notice this one was in gold, eh? Ah, look what he got. He got gold. And you want to read your scripture? Let me read it. God made known the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that's the depth of it. Then happy birthday. Why do we do all that? Because God gives us truth. And the package on the outside when we start looks like a box of shoes. But as we unravel it, and he takes us and went to the depth, which was the secret in the right at the end, was Christ, the fullness of Christ. And that's where God is speaking to us. I really believe God's unraveling truth to us. And I want to just take by that illustration, I want to just present these layers to you. And we want to just trust God that he's going to work these things in our lives. So just what we had from the apostolic on the previous weekend with Brad and Brad Lane and Hilton, God is promising us a new wine and a new wineskin. And that's not necessarily a neat thing. It talks about John 15 that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and the Father comes to prune about deadwood and to prune us. And that's the process I really believe God has put us into. I really believe he has been pruning and he's taken us into a season of new growth, and we encourage for that. And then I want to read the word that God gave from Hilton in praying for you as a church. And we have heard this before, but I'll just bring you to remembrance. I felt the Spirit draw me to Daniel's triumphant escape from the lion's den, from Daniel 6, 19 to 28. There's a radiant dawn awaiting for you in the forthcoming season. The king has witnessed your unwavering dedication, your relentless service. It is your very devoted service unto him has unlocked the gates of freedom and delivered you from the lion's menacing jaws. Not a scratch upon you, nor shall there be. Your heart stand blameless before the king's gaze. Now forge ahead. You are coming out of the den. Prosperity dances in your wake. He is your rescuer, your liberator from the lion's dominion, residing within you. His embrace envelops you. The timing of your release from the den is divine, and I perceive that it is right now. Proclaim it to your people and to the nation. And then the new dawn is arising for sure, a new wineskin. Got to be ready for this. And then since someone was saying is that there will be new life arriving, how we respond to that new life and how we accept it will make a big difference. And then someone said, we saw myself with a whole bunch of young men seated around a table eating, and young men that are hungry. And then Anthony, the young man with all the tattoos, came and brought this word, one way for church on the way through love. We must all fall in love with God, Matthew 22, verse 35, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. There will be new people added to the church. Leaders of the congregation must be, and people of the congregation must be receptive to this. Only way to grow the body of Christ is in love. The song that he had, a fresh wind, the Lord pouring out his spirit, fresh anointing, new life, new blood, time for growth. Need to be need to change in thinking and hearts. And then in Sandy Fochet, I saw a picture of a maternity ward as a nursery, which she said, your DNA has been given by God. God has found you tried and true, faithful, trustworthy, and responsible. Nursery beds, some are empty, and you've wondered why. For the new births that will be coming, young teens and old, but all new babies in Christ. Babies grow and mature, caring and nurturing, finding identity into adulthood will be secured and established. You'll be building these nurturing into adults, ready to go and nurture the new babies. Adults are established secure because they are well nurtured. So the parents who nurture the young children, that's where God's raised us up to nurture people going forward. And then also Tanya McKinney also came and said that the enemies tried to attack us, didn't come out. And the Lord just really encouraged us, according to Ephesians 6, stand your ground. Don't let the devil put the light out. Let's stand together as the enemy is trying to rob us and steal and kill. We're not going to allow him to rob us of what God's placed within us. And then that was the apostolic that came in. And then I want to just, what came through, what wonderful as we were seeking the Lord, and especially the Thursday night, God just spoke through the team that was there. Wow. And I just want to just reiterate a lot of the stuff that was said there. Some saw a rhino horn. Many believe the lies, and we're not to believe the counterfeit. We need to believe the truth. And then the vision for the church, we left base camp. The Holy Spirit is leading us. The request is through for us to leave our backpack, preserve our energy, be focused, follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit, stop the doing, focus tasks, preserve the energy, do not waste it on doing without prompting of God's Spirit. We are sending up the mountain above the low-hanging clouds, well on our way, all glory to God. So that was a key one. Gideon, we are weak and confound the wise. When Gideon went out, we had to defeat the enemy. We had to break down idolatry and the lies that are out there. We had to break down strongholds, strongholds of the demonic over our own lives. And the anointing breaks the yoke of oppression. There, the enemy will, like Nehemiah, will try and hinder us, but we must stand our ground. The next one, it's all about his glory, all about him. Christ in us is the hope of glory, glory in us. And it came through a lot of the times is that we must give glory to God. Isaiah 42, verse 8, I am the Lord, and that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. I give my glory to no other. And the next one was John 14, verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. We need to start prayer walking in the church. We need to take time to walk through the mist, through praise and worship and prayer. It was a warning, not everyone would want to participate, but we not only need to do it within the church, in our neighborhoods, into spirit-led locations. And the next one is new wine for a new wineskin, that you cannot put an old patch on a new garment, and God wanting us to work together with him. Has he changed our ways? And we really just trust in God that's going to do that. The next one, step out the way. God wants to do new things. The next one was, we mustn't compromise. The walls of Jericho are to come down. Spend time in God's presence. Do not worry about numbers. The Lord wants to inject a catalyst to rub off onto others. It'll become infectious, in a sense, to be life-changing. The promises in Jeremiah 29 that God has a plan. It says that God will show that he wants to do these things. The next one is stop doing and ascend slowly to prevent altitude sickness and be patient. There's a process of being patient going forward. The next one was key, that it was seen there were four pegs in the church, and these things need to be developed to develop agapeo, the love of God, to work together with God, the Holy Spirit, to be courageous, to be strong and courageous, and God presence with and going with us in all that we do. Then the holy fire, Jesus will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. There's a sense that the fire of God is coming to bring the renewal, to burn away the dross in our lives. Then the song was given, be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around, and no weapon shall stand against us. Jonah 1 verse 3, go to Nineveh. Didn't go the first time, he went a second time, and the second time he succeeded. There's a reset button. In a sense, with Jonah, he didn't want to go the first time, but when he submitted to God, he went there, and God made his way successful. Then there was a picture of the church has been heavily pruned. The dead wood has been cut off, but God has pruned for abundant growth. John 15 verse 4 was given, remain in me and I'll remain in you, pushing to produce much fruit. And then a word of knowledge, don't just accept all these things. Wait. God hasn't finished speaking to us. He's continuing to speak to us in doing that. And then the next one was, we need to summit the mountain, this mountain that has been declared. The mountain doesn't give its treasure easily. We cannot rely on our strength. We got to rise up and get to the top, that we may see the glory of God. Not just give glory to God, but see his glory. A tree with new branches, new believers, need to protect them and nurture them, care for them and feed them. Wait on the Lord for his word, for his logos, for his rhema, for his prophetic promises. And then I had a burning ear, and I really just felt is that we got to be careful that we don't become hard of hearing, we don't become dull. There's a warning in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11. About those, you have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. And it's a problem in the church. It's a problem in the church worldwide, is that we become hardened. And I spoke earlier about being tender and sensitive to the Spirit. We cannot become dull in hearing. It's a terrible thing when we don't hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. The next point was, he's the potter and we the clay, as we submit to his hand of grace. And then the picture is also that God is bringing fresh bread, that he is the bread of life, and he's bringing us fresh bread. And as he provided for the 4,000 and 5,000, he will provide for us in every way. So I submit that to you, what God is actually saying. We've got to work through these things, and God's going to continue to speak to us. And I really believe we're well on the path of what God is saying to us. He's doing a work in our midst, in our own lives, and preparing us for a glorious church that he's coming to fetch at the right time. But also there's an outworking of what he's called us to do as a people. We've got to hear these things and outwork these things. So I want you to pray for us. We're going away as eldership team for two nights this week, just to go and wait upon the Lord to hear what he's saying. How do we take this thing forward? Because we don't want to do the same old thing. We don't want to fall into the pattern of doing things our way. We want to say, Holy Spirit, what you wanting to do? And we want this to be exciting as we work together. And I say again, we want to hear, and I want you to hear. And if you hear what the Spirit of saying, God is saying to you, he might drop something in your spirit. He might give you a scripture. Come and share that with us. And as we facilitate this outworking, what God is doing in the life of Church on the Way. I'm so excited is that God has never forsaken us. And God will never forsake us. And we are in a new season, and God is moving us into what he has for us. And we got to just hold on to that and allow him to guide us. And God wants to use every single one of us going forward. So we continue to follow our Lord. We're led by the Holy Spirit, and we really just trust him that this is going to be an outworking of his grace. Are you hearing what the Spirit of God is saying to us? Amen. That's very, very important. God is speaking, and we don't want to run ahead of him, and we don't want to tell him what to do. But I just know that we serve an almighty God, that he's the head of his church. We've always allowed Jesus to be the head of this church. We take our instructions from him, but we work together as a team. We are the team, and God wants us to go forward at every level. So, yes, we have a plan, and we have things that we are doing, but there's an outworking. We want to be obedient to him. And I want to just say, God wants to use you, not just those that are in leadership, but he wants to use every single one of you in the sphere of influence that he's given you, that God can manifest his kingdom in and through you and see many, many lives change in and through your testimony. Amen. Quinton, do you want to come and pray for us? And then we can allow God to have his way amongst us. Thank you.